Today we're going to be in 2 Timothy. If you'll open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, and we're going to get started in this. I thought I would take a somewhat different approach to Mother's Day. You know, I'm always looking for something different. I'm always trying not to when it comes to holidays, whether it's Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, Easter. I always like to give a different perspective if I can. And so today, I thought, let me just look at the impact that moms have on their children. And so I thought, you know, the best place to find that is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 1 through 5. And so as we turn our Bibles there, let's read it. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. Before I go any further, I want you to see what's going on here. Timothy is struggling. He's having some issues, whether it's from a lash out of the Church of Ephesus, I'm not sure of, but he's having a struggle. And he's having a struggle with his church people, and obviously this is bothering him greatly. To the point where he's in tears, and so Paul writes him a letter. Paul wants to encourage him, and Paul says, "Hey, now let me just point out that Paul is not actually Timothy's father, but he is his father in the faith." And so I want to remind dads today, even though it's Mother's Day, I want to remind dads how important it is for you to listen to this message as well, because it runs both ways. It's just today I'm pointing out very specifically the impact that moms have. But please don't underestimate the influence that you have, whether it is whether you are actually mom, dad, aunt, uncle, friend, mentor, whatever it is. You need to understand that we impact children every day. And not just children, but people in general. And so we really have to stop and think and process before we do, because what we do will help determine what children do. And what we teach by what we do will help children to determine what they do. You know, the old adage is, they don't care what you say, or I can't hear you because I can't hear what you say because of what you're doing. You know, things like that. And then sometimes parents, and I don't get this, but sometimes parents teach by poor examples, and then they justify their actions in front of their children like this is okay, even when it's not okay. So mom, I want you to hear, and I want to challenge you and encourage you. This isn't a Debbie Downer thingy, whatever it is. This needs to be encouraging, but you really got to hear and pay attention to understand that our words and our actions truly determine children's directions in many, many ways. And so let's look at this. So Paul says, hey, listen, to Timothy, a beloved son. This is his son in the faith. It says, grace, mercy, and peace. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 now. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he goes into Timothy's faith and his heritage. And listen now, when we look at his faith and his heritage, I forgot to tell you, I sent you like 4 or 5 emails with photos. Did anybody open those up? Man, forgive me. I forgot to tell you, it's sitting in the email box. So as I am continuing on with the message, if you would just take a moment, pull those up, and get ready to put them up for me, because it's very, very important. I want everyone to see those. So at any rate, Paul's talking to Timothy, and in verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. And so now listen, Paul's going back, and listen, guys, and again, I know this is Mother's Day, but this is for everyone to hear. I mean, everyone's got to hear what I'm saying and think about what I'm saying. And for those of you who maybe you're not a parent yet, maybe it's coming, you need to think about what I'm saying. For those of you who are parents, and maybe your kids are even grown, it's not too late to stop the crazy and start the spiritual and start that teaching that God requires of us. And for those of you who have children and they're young and they're growing up, listen, this is the most informative time of their life as they go on. And so especially from birth to 12 years old, you will do the most influence on your children that you possibly can. And it truly will determine the direction they go. And so I titled this message, Mothers, Now is the Time. Now is the time to teach and to direct and to help your children. If your children are older, now's the time to manage them, because the truth is they reach a certain age and you kind of go in management mode, you know, because there's really nothing you can do but help guide them. Now, if they're still under your roof and still under 18, sometimes you can tap them this way so they turn that way, you know what I'm saying? And you can tap them that way so they turn out. Maybe not. Any rate, but we still have this influence, and you have to help push them, guide them, and get involved in their life. And so, any rate, Paul says, hey, Timothy, I want you to know that I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience. In other words, man, listen, his guilt is gone. He has taken everything to the Lord. He's living right. His life is right. His spiritual life is right. His actions are right. So he has a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. He's going back and just saying, listen, for all those, all the way back to Abraham, because at this time, Abraham was huge, influential, the life of Abraham. And so he says, listen, as I go back to Abraham, all the way back there, my forefathers, those who set the church up. I mean, he can go all the way back, and he says, listen, I have a pure conscience as my forefathers did. And so, again, you see the... excuse me, you see the heritage that that he's looking back on. And then he says this, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Parents, pray for your children night and day. You want God to interfere with their lives as much as possible. You want God to get involved and help direct them, and so you want God active. And I'm going to tell you, it is faithful prayers that help change lives. And so you see, Paul says, listen, Timothy, I pray for you night and day. Listen, I lift you up before God because, listen, you are my son. And listen, this isn't his real son. This is his son in the faith. And so, again, we need to learn from Paul in this respect that, hey, we have to learn or we have to go to God on behalf of our children, whether they are your biological children or your children out of love. It doesn't matter. We are to go to God on their behalf. So then he goes on. And he says in verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. Remember I said earlier that I think in most most commentaries that I read, they all believe that Timothy has had this huge problem from the church of Ephesus, and they're just kind of not rebelling against him. They just want to live sinful. And Timothy's young. He's a young man, and we find that in 4:12, right? We got our youth group is called 4:12. Don't let your youth get in the way. Don't let people use your youth against you. And so Paul telling Timothy, listen, man, you got to stand strong. I know that you're going through some hard times, but you got to hang in there, and you got to stay strong. And so Timothy is in tears over this, and Paul's trying to encourage him, and he says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And then verse 5, he says, hey, Timothy, I need you to stop for a minute and just reflect. I need you to stop for a minute, and I need you to go back. I need you to think back. Listen, Timothy, don't get caught up. You know, I've talked to several people, especially during this COVID time, where anxiety is starting to set in with people, and the longer it goes, the more anxious people get. And what happens is, and I just want to put this out there, what happens is we have a tendency to not put things in. Like, we're not feeding our brain, and we're not feeding our heart. We don't feed our heart with the Word of God, and we don't feed our brain with things to think about. So it's so important to read, not watch videos. Don't watch videos. Turn videos off. Turn them off. Turn them off. Don't watch videos. Sound, not you. Leave it run. I see my sound guy going, what? There's nothing going on up here. Don't turn me off. some of you might want to, but don't yet. But these videos, you know, listen, so often, if we're not careful, the videos we choose have an agenda. And so grab something that doesn't have an agenda. Grab the Word of God, read it, and put it in your mind so that when hard times come, you have something to think about, to reflect on. Right, listen, read a godly novel, one that just has an exciting storyline, but lines up biblically, so it's not taking you off into a land where you don't need to be, thinking about things you don't need to think about. Man, I remember when I was a kid, and it might still be today, I have no clue, but I remember when I was a kid, the big thing back then was Harlequin. Is it Harlequin or Harlequin, whatever, Harlequin romances. That was huge when I was a kid. And so it was just like that was the thing to read, right? And don't read those. That's garbage, man. That's smut. Put it down and pick up a godly novel, pick up the Bible, pick up anything and read it to feed your mind so anxiety does not set in. And so Paul is basically telling Timothy the same thing. Hey, listen, here's what I need you to do, Timothy. Don't get worked up, man. Listen, I understand that you're having hard times. I understand that it's coming in. Anxiety might be building up inside of Timothy. I mean, he's a young man and he's pastoring a church. And I'm going to tell you right now, to pastor is no place for a novice. And man, if you roll into being a pastor, you better roll in with the idea that you're sold out, and you better get some tough skin, man, like rhino skin, you know, because if not, people don't care. They get so caught up in themselves, they run you over. And so as a matter of fact, I read yesterday that the second pastor that's in my circle took his life last week. This is the second one this year, and that I know about. You pray for your pastor. You pray for pastors all around, because it's getting more and more difficult to pastor the church that wants to go the way of the world. And what you'll find is there is a lot of pastors in Timothy's position where they set back and they get so overwhelmed. And sometimes don't know what to do, and they just sit there in tears. So you pray for the pastor's family. God knows who it is, and you pray for pastors all around. Anyway, so Paul says, hey Timothy, look here in verse 5. Paul says, Timothy, listen. When I call to remember, he says, that I may be filled with joy in verse 4-5, when I recall to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Listen, this is the real deal, he says, the genuine faith. So many people, they pretend like they know God. So many people pretend pretend to be a Christian. So many people pretend to have, you know, like their life is a train wreck outside of the world, but then they come into the church and all of a sudden they're all this holier than thou. And Paul's saying, listen, this isn't the case with you, Timothy. This is genuine. Your genuine faith is what he's talking about here in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Guys, the key word in this passage is genuine. Genuine. If it's not real, you can't fake God and you can't fake it with God. And this old adage, fake it till you make it, listen, that might be for something else, but it doesn't work for Christianity. And either you love God and it's real and it's genuine, or you don't. And Mom, I'm going to tell you, because I'm going to get to this where it's so important for you to understand that you either love God or you don't. And what you love in here is going to come out to your children. The genuineness of your heart will show every time. You can't hide your genuineness but so long. And then the real you will happen. And so it says here in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Guys, I want you to see what's happened here as Paul says, listen, man, your grandma, listen, Mom, you got to listen. This is so crucial to Mom right here. You have to understand. This Paul says it didn't just happen with your mom. Man, this is your heritage. God has been in your family all the way back. Your grandmother, she taught you. Your mother taught you. And I know that it's in you. I've seen it in you. Listen, you have showed yourself, because you know the truth is we really do show our true colors. We really, listen, it's only a matter of time before somebody knows the real you. And Paul says, I know the real you, and I want you to think back, because all that has helped make you who you are today was your grandmother and your mother. Your grandmother and your mother. The investment of your grandmother and your mother. And as a matter of fact, if you look it up in the Greek, grandmother would be mama. Yo mama. Okay, your mama. But it goes back. And Paul says, listen, I need you to hear me. Timothy, man, hold on to what your grandmother and your mother taught you. Kids, listen. I'm going to get to some statistics. Did you guys get my stuff? Oh, you're awesome. Thank you. I knew if I preached long enough, you'd make it happen. All right, here we go. So I went in. And I thought, man, what is it today? You know, Barna does statistics all the time. That's what they do, Barna. If you ever want a statistic, you look up Barna, especially in the church or whatever. And Barna brings up statistics and shows you what's going on. In this particular graph that we're going to be bringing up here in a second, and the statistics I'm going to give you are from 2019. 2019, May 6th of 2019, the statistics was put out there. So this is only literally a year old, right at a year old. And so as we look at this, I want you to see, guys, that this is relevant. This isn't 80s and 90s. Of course, when I say it like that, it makes me feel really old. This... Man, the age is starting to come upon me. And this is last year's statistics. And so I need you to understand. And then, Mom, I need you to listen, because I need you to see where you fall in areas of influence. That's key. Mom, where you fall in areas of influence. Not fall as in fail, but where your position is. So This is a Barna study between moms and teens. I don't even know if it's necessarily teens as it is the, it's teens because this was taken of 13 to 17 year olds. And but this is for the this was taken with the Gen Z Generation Z, which is, by the way, if you don't know, I had to look it up and find the ages of Generation Z. Generation Z is 5 to 25 year olds, and it's from 1995 to 2015. Those born in 95 to 2015, that's your Generation Z, if you will. I'm not going to go there. Okay. Moms are primarily active and conversation partners with teens. Let's look at some of that's really small. But listen, I gave you the best I can give you. I didn't know what it was going to look like up there, but I was trying. Okay, that's all right. You know what? Sound, can I get the little red eye there on the projector remote? What do they call those things? Laser, thank you. Yeah, listen, nobody said my brain works all the time. And I'm finding out that if it's not written down, it doesn't work. My brain doesn't work at all. Paper has become my brain. Okay, let's see. Oh, look at that. Okay, here we go. So what I want you to see is that Gen Z, they're actually very open with and dependent upon their mothers. So mom, if you think for one minute and you go, oh, I lost my kids, I can't help them. You know, they're 13, 14, 15, 17. Listen, no. If they were born before 95, you still have influence in your children's lives up to and forever on. I mean, it doesn't stop, but I want you to see the influence that's happening. And by the way, this is between 13 and 17 year olds, but as I look back and I have two daughters and I look at the interaction between them and their mother and myself, listen, I can't deny the stats. It is what it is. Today's Christian teen consistently identifies their mother as the principal housemate for most activities. They are the principal housemate for most activities. So, mom, listen. If you're being silly, man, you're destroying your children. You got to quit being silly, and you got to start being Timothy, like Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. So, I want you to look at this: from eating meals together, watching TV or movies, talking about God, having confrontations. Mothers are the primary activity partner for their teens. And so as we look at this, I want you to see the first one here, eating meals together. If you see the color is blue, and then for dad, because I'm only going to look at four areas here that I want you to see. So there's mother, father, friend. I don't know. My little red thing doesn't show up for the at home, do they? All right, sound. You can enjoy it then. All right, so mother, father, friend, the top three you'll see is blue. I find it interesting they put pink or mauve beside the father and the blue beside the mother, but that's beside the point. And then you got friend in the gray, sibling in the green. And so those are the top numbers that I want you to see or to pay attention to. And so as you look in the first one, eat meals together. Look where it is for the... with the mom. Listen, they look to the mom to have a meal every day because moms are going to have the meals on the tables every day. And so the kids look to mom. 80%, 80 plus. Look here. We watch TV or movies together. Look again where mom is. Now, dad, I want you to see if you can see the mauve there or the pink or whatever color it is. You're not far behind, so don't get all depressed like boo-hoo, woe is me, I've dropped the ball. You're not far behind. It's just that, listen, moms have this instinct to just man, they're, listen, they're, it's just in them, right? And dads, don't get all boo-hooey on me now, because you have your place, and I'm going to talk about that in a few weeks. You have your place, but listen, dads typically, and oh, don't go all gender feminist on me. Dad typically, or the way God, here we go, and that way I don't care what you think. God set it up for the man to provide and to protect, and for the mother to nurture and to raise. Now, I'm just going to tell you, that's the way God set it up. And it doesn't matter whether you like it or you don't like it. It doesn't matter if you like my statement or you don't like my statement. Prove me wrong in the scriptures and we'll talk. If you don't have the scriptures, I don't want to hear it. Here we go. So, eat meals together, watch TV or movies together. Look, mom is up at the 80% mark. Have fun together. Mom is still up there, but mom didn't beat out friends. Friends want it all, right? Siblings want it all to have fun together. Dad, you're still right there. You're only about 10% behind mom. But mom, look where you're at. Look where you're at so far in just eating meals together, watching TV or movies, and having fun together. Mom, you are right up there in the first two. You're number one, and then friends, of course, for having fun together took over. But mom, you're second. We talked to God about faith. Look at that. We talked to God about faith. Mom, you are, man, you're 71% in talking to your children about faith in God. And I'm going to tell you, dads, you have completely dropped the ball in this as a whole, not individuals. Please don't take any of this personal. But again, if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the only one that yelps is the one that got hit. So be in remembrance of that. But look here, and you know what? The interesting thing is, we talk about God and faith. Mom, you're way out ahead. And if you look at the attendance in the church, usually in the house of God, if you follow the attendance, mom's always faithful in church. Dad's always, or seems to most of the time, have something more important to do. And the attendance shows that. So you can't even deny the truth of this statement. And so listen, who spends more time with God? It's typically the woman, and so these stats will fit. And so look at it. And by the way, anybody that don't like these stats and you want to be out front where mom is, then change what you do. All right, here we go. We exchange text messages or emails. We exchange text messages or emails. Listen, friends beat mom out by 8%. And by the way, there were almost 3,000 teenagers that went through this whole questioning to get the information, right? That was in this. Almost 3,000 teenagers. And so this is a pretty consistent, whatever you call it. I can't even remember what it's called now. Okay, here we go. Survey. All right, so here we go. So moms, look. You are exchanging further than anyone, with the exception of friends, by just a slim margin. Mom, what you text and what you email, your children are looking to you. We pray together. Look, mom is out in front by a wide margin. A wide margin. Moms, we confront each other. The only thing is, you have mom and you have friend right there, and mom is still leading in this to where there is confrontation, and it's because children are going to come to their mom. They might confront them. They whatever is going on, but there is such a relationship going there and such a closeness there that a child is going to come in and say, "Hey, mom," and there's going to be a confrontation. So that could be good or bad. But look, mom, you lead the pack in that. And so understand that when there's a confrontation, how you handle it is a huge impact on how your child receives it. And if you are being confronted tormented because of turmoil, and there's no humility in you, you're just doing way more damage, because your child is coming to you, and your reaction is going to determine how your child very well may react the next time in a situation. And you listen, if you're ungodly, you don't want your child following you. I'm just saying, if you're godly, man, your child's going to come out of that going, man, my mom frustrates me so bad, but she loves Jesus. And that is going to resonate as time goes on and they have their own children. Look here. We call each other on the phone. Friends have beat mom out by 11%. If you look at the numbers, by 11%, friends beat mom out. But you are talking that they are up there, the 65 to 75%. That's crazy. Mom, look at this. Phone calls and these text messages and these emails and all this communication. You're it. Like, you are the influencer. You are the one that literally is making the vast difference in their life, because you are dealing with them the most. And it just is what it is. A lot of it, too, has to do with... in this survey, a lot of dads just wasn't around. And so it was just mom, because mom's a single parent. And to that, I say shame on both of you parents for being so selfish that you leave your child to be raised by one or by a split home. And the reason I say both is because, contrary to belief, it's not always the dad's fault that home split. And so, it takes both sides. And you can sit there and justify all you want. I really don't care. I'm just making a statement. Here we go. And the numbers show my statement to be true. All right, here we go. We interact on social media. You're out. Is siblings or friends, they take the lead on that. But I'm not going to say that's a bad thing, except for you might want to get on social media to help control a little bit of what they watch. No, you definitely want to get on social media and help control what they're seeing. And so then we play sports together. Mom, yeah, you're 22%. You dropped the ball, no pun intended. And so playing sports together, siblings and dad are up there, and friends. Dad, listen, you impact your children. Please don't take this as a negative, but I'm looking at moms today. But dads like to play, so dad, you're going to be ahead of mom on that, right? Usually. All right. And so what we see is the one-on-one time with various household members. That's what this whole graph was about. One-on-one time with various household members. Mom, are you seeing this? I hope you can see this graph. This graph is live, right? You got it up? Okay. So hopefully you guys can see this and see the numbers, and mom, see your influence, because it is huge. Please do not underestimate your influence, all right? So then as we go on, teens go to mom. Go to the next slide, please. And so this should be teens go to moms for tough conversations and personal support. It's where teens get support. That should be the next. You don't have that? So it didn't go through? How many did you get? Are you serious? Okay, I emailed 5. All right, that's all right. Here we go. So where teens get support, it may not be up there. And so let me just go through the numbers here. I'll just share the numbers with you, okay? So according to Practicing Christian, and when we say Practicing Christian, this is a survey, is all about children who are active in church, okay? That's what I want you to see. Children who are active in church. And so if we look at the numbers, encouragement. Encouragement. I want you to hear that when it comes to encouragement, mom is 90%. 90%. The one with the most encouragement. Dad, dad is, let me see where dad's number is. Dad, you're at 75%. Not as a whole, obviously not individuals. Grandparents, remember, this is grandma and mom, right? Grandparents are right at 79% for encouragement. Mom, though, mom's like, man, she's way out there. She is, man, she's running this race on this one. And then we have advice. Moms. Okay, moms, listen up. Moms, you are 96%. 96% of the time these teens are going to come to you between 13 and 17, are going to come to you for advice. For advice. Which means that if you tell them one thing and you're living another thing, your advice is scrap. Don't even bother. Did we find the rest of them? Oh, I knew I sent them. All right, here we go. So where teens get support, that should be your next slide, because I really want everyone to see that. So at any rate, so encouragement. And by the way, dads, me included, listen, we need to work on encouraging our children better. And I'm going to tell you the difference between the encouragement usually is because moms pay real close attention. And dads are typically just right and wrong. Do it because you need to do it. Whereas mom comes along, honey, let's talk. I love you. Let me help you here, okay? I've been noticing. And then, so moms come along like that, right? And dads are like, yeah, I saw what you did, and you better not do it again. So maybe we do need to adjust a little bit on that one, right? And then, so advice, mom is way out there. Dad on advice is dead even with grandparents, and that stands right about 68%. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. All right, so here we go. Thank you, guys. So here we go. Advice. So mom, look where mom is. And then look where dad and grandma right there. So they're about equal on advice. And so I want you to see, dads, maybe we can pick up the pace, but mom, you listen, Paul said, hey Timothy, think about what your mom and grandma taught you. Mom, listen, and by the way, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm really not. If you feel bad, not my goal. I just want you to see in real numbers the influence you have on your children. In real numbers. Real numbers. So if listen, if you are ungodly, what kind of advice do you think that you're going to give your children? If you're ungodly, what way do you think you're going to live in front of your children so your children don't even have to ask for advice? They just watch what you do. I'm telling you that you got to pay attention, mom, because you are it when it comes to your children looking towards someone. You're it. You're it. And so pay. And even, listen, even if you don't like it, even if you don't like it, that you don't like that position, you still hold it. It doesn't change the fact that your children are desperately looking towards you. Desperately. It doesn't matter if you like it or you don't. Your children are desperately looking towards you, mom. And so please pay attention. And when you give advice, sympathy. Ah, yeah, dad is like 50%, 48%, right? Remember, though, I said dad's just kind of that black and white dude. And so you got to be real careful because dad, sometimes we don't have sympathy. And sometimes mom's got to come along and go, honey, I think you're too hard on them. To which Ira would respond, I mean, fathers respond. dads, you might want to pay attention to sympathy just a little bit, because mom has just run away with it. And then, of course, look who is next in line is friends. Friends are more sympathetic But I'll tell you this, it's usually because friends get emotional together and they support one another. And so they'll typically go down the same line. That sympathy is not always good. So mom, if you're going to give sympathy, you got to be lined up with God to do it in a biblical fashion. Money. Yeah. Typically, teens go to mom to get money, but dad, yeah, look where dad is. Dad's like, yep, here you go. And it's not because dad's trying to buy the kids. Okay, at least not in my case. In my case, it's because, listen, if I got it and my children need it, I'll give it to them. Now, if they want it, I'll weigh out their want before I give them the money. I don't just give them money because they want money, but you see where dad is. And so dad shows up when it comes to the money. That's not a negative, so I'm not going to make it a negative. It just is what it is, all right? Logistical help. Logistical help. Look who's up front. Dad. And I'm going to point this out because, and again, boy, go to scripture if you don't like what I got to say. I want you to see that encouragement and, excuse me, and sympathy. Moms are out front because God, now listen to me, God made moms to be softer, more emotional. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just telling you how God made women. More, and I don't mean softer as in you don't have no gusto, because let someone touch your child and all of a sudden mama bear, nobody wants to mess with mama bear, not even papa bear. He's like, oh, get out of the way. The train's coming through, right? So this isn't a thing of weakness. When I say soft, I'm talking about in the heart. And why? It's because they're more emotional. God made them more emotional. But listen, when it comes to logistical help, go to dad. You know why? Because dad separates 90% of the time, 95%. Okay, maybe 99%, separates emotion from logic. And so the child will go to dad because dad's just going to give them the simple, here it is. And then the child's going to have to deal with it and make a decision. But you see where dad is, but look where mom is. Mom is next and very close next. So mom, again, look your numbers out here. You're way ahead of the majority of almost everyone else in your influence. Please understand this. And if you got to make corrections, if you're ungodly, fix that. Fix that. If you don't know Jesus, then get in the Bible and get some information so that you can lead your kids in the way of the Lord so the world doesn't get them. The next one, who teens talk to. Who teens talk to. That, you guys have that one? Who teens talk to. If you'll put that up. All right, there we go. So this is percentage of teens who say they are most likely to talk with this member of their household or extended household about questions about faith. Mom, you're almost 90%. 90%. So if you have no faith, you're not going to answer these questions. And these parents who say, oh, let them figure it out on their own, they'll figure something out on their own. Mom, look where you are at. Dad doesn't hit it until about 70%. Mom is 90%. Mom, listen, when it comes to questions about God, do your homework so that you can help your children through it. Something that bothers you. Mom, look at this. You are still out front. If you have a problem, your children are going to come to you and say, I got this problem. Understand how you react. You have to react in a godly way. And listen, that doesn't always mean that you give in to them just because the emotional side of it, remember? You got to keep it balanced. But when when something's bothering a child, they're going to go to mom. Mom, you got to be lined up with God so you can handle it proper and give them proper information about God and how to solve things and how to do things so that when they get older, they won't depart from it. They won't forget. So mom, pay attention because, man, they're coming to you. Look at this. The Bible. The Bible. Mom, they're coming to you. Almost not. It's 87% right at. They're coming to you for questions about the Bible. If you're not reading your Bible, you're not studying your Bible, guess what? You can't answer the questions. And to tell them, talk to pastor, doesn't always cut it. Because they want you, mom. That's why they're coming to you. And you got to have these answers. And if you don't have these answers, you're leaving your child to literally, you're putting them out to the pasture like sheep without a shepherd. You got to be so careful, mom. You're it. I don't know whether you like it or you don't like it. I don't know if you like these numbers or you do like these numbers, but I'm going to tell you, mom, you're it. You are it. Look at this. Questions about faith. When something bothers you, questions about the Bible, the three most important things in life. You're it. You're it. Politics. Well, guess who's in line for that? Dad. Don't go to my Facebook page. At any rate, here we go. let's move on. Mom, right after dad, you're in line when it comes to politics. So the best thing that you could do is be up on your politics. Why? Because politics dictate society. And your belief in God dictates society. The two things that are most important in the world is politics and religion. And you go, I don't agree with that. Those two things determine society as a whole. And we can't deny it. And I find it absolutely amazing that everybody's like, oh, I don't talk about politics and I don't talk about religion. You need to. We all need to on both fronts. And so, mom, look where you're at. Dad's out front on the politics. Mom, you're right there. You're next. And so make sure you understand what's going on so you can teach your child the way they should go. And then sex. Now, the interesting thing here is these numbers are slightly skewed. And the one who did the survey admits it on this one. They said it was kind of difficult. As a whole, most are going to go to mom for questions about sex, but they did find it heavier. Let's see. So let me read it to you. It says, when discussing sex, there's a bit of difference depending on the teen's gender, with 30% of boys and 48% of girls talking about this with their mother, and 50% of boys and 10% of girls covering this topic with their father. So you see, when it comes to sex, it really is divided, where the majority, if you're a female, you're going to go to your mom, and if you're a boy, you're going to go to your dad. But let me say this, dad, if you have daughters, do not be afraid to talk to your daughters about sex. Don't be afraid. And don't be afraid to talk to your boys about sex. The worst thing that you can do, mom or dad, doesn't matter, is to let your child discover sex on their own. Now, if your child decides to be disobedient and go get active on their own and do what they're not supposed to do, you don't have a whole lot of control over that unless you start instilling everything in them as early as possible. And then if they still choose to, that's on them as well. So, when it comes to sex, don't beat yourself up over it if your child has strayed in that area. Just understand this, if you're afraid to talk about it, your child is not afraid to discover it. That's all I'm going to say. And if you've taught them right and everything else, hopefully, they'll follow this. And if they just want to be disobedient, that's on them, and they'll have to live and die by their decisions. But look where you're at on this, mom. And this is the whole idea about these graphs. All right, the next graph. And I know there's a whole lot of information, but I think the numbers just speak for themselves, more so than the preaching today. And I think that Paul points it out how important moms are, because he goes back and says, Timothy, man, you hold on to what your grandmother and your mother taught you. And so, and I thought, man, you know what? Rather than just preach about how great moms are, and I'm sure the multitude of you are wonderful, I thought what I would do is just show you actual numbers of the difference that you actually make that's irrefutable, your position. All right, here we go. Where teens receive spiritual guidance and encouragement. And so this is a percentage of teens who say that this member of their household or extended households does the following to share about their faith. Look at mom encourages me to go to church. You know why? Because typically, and I say this to the shame of the dad, typically, moms will be the first to go to church where dads won't. Now, here's an interesting stat as well that, remember, this here encourages me to go to church. It doesn't mean that they actually go to church. It means that mom, by almost 100%, encourages their children to go to church. If you want the child to stay in church, 93% of all children that stay in church because their dad stays in church. 17% of children stay in church because mom stays in church. Sure. That ought to punch dads right in the snoz, huh? All right, here we go. I'm just telling you, it takes mom and dad both. And I just think that the numbers, the statistics are unbelievable. And I think that we live in such a time and a day. The scriptures say in the end days, there'll be a falling away. And so I just want moms to really see the value that they have and how valuable they are in making a difference as a mom. And so I couldn't think of a better way than this. And so moms, please listen. All right. And dads, listen too, because how crazy is it that right at 95%, 93% of kids will stay in church because you stay in church. And if you stay out of church, they'll stay out of church. And if you don't find church important, they won't find church important. So if you find work more important than church, guess what's going to happen? Your children are going to find church more important or work more important than church. And so, Dad, if your kids aren't in church, it's your fault. Here we go. There, moms, I should make you feel better. All right. Encourages me in other ways. Right here. Look at this. Mom is just the encourager. Now, Dad, you're right there. Grandparents, a little ahead of Dad on that. But Dad is in the 80%. Mom is like 91%. Encourages in other ways. So Mom, listen, Mom is a Barnabas, right? As a whole, mom's a Barnabas. Barnabas, for those of you who don't know, Barnabas is the encourager in the Bible, in the New Testament. So when you hear someone say, oh, you're a Barnabas, they literally mean, you're the encourager. And so here we go. Sets an example. Look who the children are watching. Now this is close. Man, this is real close. Siblings, you're at 30%. So they're looking at you going, nah, they're a numbskull. I'm not following that. or they're like, yeah, they're a numbskull. That's kind of intriguing. I don't know. But you're at 30, like 31%. But mom, you're right at 90%. I think the actual number is 88%. You're at 88% that you set the example. They're following you. They're following you. If you choose to be ungodly, they're following you. If you choose to be have zero humility, they're going to grow up and have no humility, be selfish, whatever. Listen, I'm telling you, they're following you, Mom. You're setting an example, and you are the one, by all numbers, irrefutable, you are the one that sets the example that the children look at the most. Dad, we need to step up, don't we? But that's what it is. That's what it is. And so you have to make sure. And by the way, these numbers come because mom typically spends more time with the child than dad. Typically. If it's the other way around, that's fine. I'm just saying typically as a whole. Talks with me, let's see, right here. Talks with me about God's forgiveness. Dad, you didn't even hit 60%. Mom, you're above 80%. You're about 85%. How important is it that we tell children that God loves them and that God will forgive them if they're repentant? And about anything, not just salvation, but about life in general. Man, we gotta let kids know, because they're being lied to that there's no God and so on and so forth. Listen, we need to tell them about God's forgiveness and about God's salvation. So important. Mom, you're the biggest influencer in this. Teaches me about the Bible. Mom, you once again, you're the biggest influence in this. Dad, you're not too far behind, but mom, you're it. Teaches me about traditions. Grandmothers obviously take this one. Oh, you need to remember, I know back in the day. I love to hear stories from grandmas and grandpas about history. If you will stop and listen to them, they are a gold mine of information. Kids, quit thinking you know everything and sit down and learn something, because grandma and grandpa will absolutely share with you some things that will just, you'll just sit back in awe. Because I'm going to tell you, contrary to belief, we live in the worst time of society as far as learning, growing, and being a warrior or having a warrior spirit. We live in the worst time of society ever in America. Man, you want to talk about real men, real women who bit down on their teeth and gritted it and dug through. Boy, you talk to grandma and grandpa. They'll share some things with you. They're better than any story book that you can read. I can assure you of that. As long as grandma and grandpa's not dry, which usually they're not, but some of them are. Just bear with them and take the facts in. Amen. All right. So look at this though. Mom, you're right next to grandparents with tradition. Your influence, if you have noticed, your influence has been top of the charts all the way through. I have one more chart. No, that is it. That is it. So that's the last chart that we're going to look at. So I want you to see through all of this, guys. I want you to see, especially moms, man, you're huge. Do not. Let me say that one more time in case someone missed it. Do not underestimate your value. Do not underestimate your influence on your children. Do not underestimate that. Because if you underestimate it, it's like tossing your children to the wolves. You're it. Whether you like it or not, you're it. You're it. And so please make the best of it when it comes to your children. I want to finish this up. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I'll pick up there. And then verse 4 says that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, where and I am persuaded is in you also. Verse 6, therefore, because of what grandma and mom put in you, because of your mothers, and literally it would be here, grandma was considered a mom, just like mom was considered a mom in the Jewish customs. And so literally it would read, therefore, because of what your mothers put into you, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And it doesn't mean that he laid hands on him and Timothy fell out. It literally means that Paul came up to him, put his hands on him. Typically, it would have been as a prayer thing, so it had been on his shoulders, usually coming up behind him, putting his hands on him. Timothy would have been knelt down, and Paul would have come up, put hands on him, and prayed for him. That's what this means. And so I don't want you to take this out of context, because I know some people are like, oh, you got to lay hands on him. No, you don't. You pray for him. That's what this means, okay? And so he says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And mom, this is the stuff you need to be teaching your children. That God has given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And we need to be putting that in the children and be reminded, as in verse 6, therefore, because of what your mamas, literally what your mamas put into you. Moms, I'm praying for you, praying for all of you, that you understand the importance of investing in your children and not in your careers. To invest and to pour in. And when they come to you, and I don't care if they're 5 or 25, when they come to you, you stop the world and help them through it. Not enable them in their sin, but help them through whatever they're going through, because you're right with God and you want to see them walk right with God. So important, Mom. So important. Looking at the numbers, looking at the scriptures, I'm not minimizing dad, because on Father's Day we're going to talk about the importance of dad. But mom, today you're it. And I pray that you take that more serious than ever. Get in church, get in the word. If you've been out, get back. Get back. Don't delay. I know we can blame a whole lot on this coronavirus, but come next week, don't delay. Don't. Get back. Come today, start. Pick up the Bible, start reading it again. Get on your knees, start praying. And if you're already doing it, do it with even more fervor. We got a generation to get a hold of and a country to save. And moms, you make that much difference, that you may very well determine the outcome. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and love you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Lois and Eunice. Father, that they gave the example of pouring into Timothy, and then you taking what they put into Timothy to change lives even to this day. Father, help moms to understand their value. Help moms to understand the difference that they make in their children. And if they're not the mom, but they're the biggest influencer in that child's life, help that woman to understand the difference that she's making in that child's life. Father, help the children to surrender to you as they're being taught. Father, help the fathers to do their part and do it even more as we see the day approaching. As a family, help us to understand siblings have their place and they influence as well. Dads have their place and they influence. But moms, you're leading the pack in this. And so help all of us to understand the importance and the value of what we live, say, and do and put into others. And that we would all, as a whole family, step up in our love for you, Lord. In our desire to learn about you, Lord. And that we pursue righteousness, because the next generation absolutely depends on it. Father, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.